This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome. We're glad that you're here with us tonight on The Access Point. Living Corporate is a digital media network consultancy focused on workplace diversity, equity, and inclusion. Living Corporate centers and amplifies Black and Brown voices in the workplace through digital media production and business-to-business consulting. The network offers a variety of programming, including The Access Point. The Access Point is a weekly webinar focused on preparing Black and Brown aspiring and experienced professionals for the workforce by having the real, nuanced talks they don't know they need. During each episode, we examine real challenges you face at work and offer expert advice on dealing with your organization, your boss, your coworkers, and your career. Here's our disclaimer. The thoughts and views expressed in tonight's discussion do not reflect the views of any organization with which the hosts or guests may be affiliated. Good evening. I am Dr. Wendy M. Edmonds, author, followership coach, and professor with a research focus on toxic followership. Simply, why do people follow bad people? I am not alone. For those of you who join us, you know I have my awesome, awesome co-host with us this evening, Dr. Lonnie Morris Jr.
Hello, and Dr. Wendy. So glad to be here with you. Happy for us to be back in the second half of this season of The Access Point, one of my favorite days of the week. I am Dr. Lonnie Morris. I'm a management consultant and professor, and I spend my time helping powerful executives figure out how to get people to act better at work. Most of my time is unpacking the bad things that people do and helping you hate your job less. So excited about this episode because we're really talking about something that's fascinating to me and to all of us. We're thinking about how the world is changing, particularly how the workforce is changing and what's happening right now if you are possibly in the job search. If you're looking for entry-level positions or changing directions in your career, and how to navigate that stuff right now. And we've got an exciting guest, I think the perfect person to have this conversation with us. And our guest tonight is Ms. Josefina Magana. She is the president-elect of the State of Washington's Career Development Association, professional development organization focused on promoting and enhancing the field of career development through training, community building, education, outreach to increase understanding and awareness of pathways and how to best access them and navigate them. For nearly a decade, she worked for the Washington State Department of Labor and Industries, where she focused on keeping Washingtonians safe and working. During her tenure, she served as an executive chair for the Governor's State Interagency Committee of State Employed Women, driving the mission to better the lives of state employees through advocacy, outreach, and opportunity. And in her spare time, she's the director of the State of Washington's Chamber of Commerce Thurston Thrives Project, designed to eliminate health disparities through the Thurston community. Welcome to The Access Point, Ms. Josefina.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me here. I'm super excited and I'm glad that this space exists because we need to have the good, real, tough conversations and be able to take them back to our spaces. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. This is a really good time to have this type of conversation. And I think of it as not just our retooling about where we should be going with careers, but it's almost a check-in with our resolutions, right? We are Yes. 54 days into the new year. And I think if anyone made a career resolution, this is now your time to check in. I just saw Indeed's list of 2023 career resolutions, and it included learning a new skill, improving social media profiles, cleaning out files and desks, joining professional organizations, reassessing your work-life balance, getting new certification, practicing mindfulness, all these things that seem so incredible. But if you are on this path to new year, new me at 54 days in. What should people be thinking about right now? Where should we be in our heads? Josefina, start us off.
Ooh, that is a beautiful question. I think people should be thinking about not settling. And what do I mean by that? Even if you are at a place where you're comfortable, especially if you are too comfortable, I think that you really have to challenge yourself to get out of your comfort zone. I say recently because to me it seems pretty recent. I have been at a new job for since June of last year. And I think at the end of the day, you always have to think about your talents. Where are they at? So if you are considering where do I start or where do I go, it's always looking at your talents. What are you good at? As they say now, what is making you marketable? I think that's very key.
I love that. Dr. Wendy, what are your thoughts?
I agree with that. Not only should we be looking at our new skills, always think of where you are, what you need to gain from that job to get to your next point. So you can never be settled in your job. You should always be looking forward.
I get that. Looking forward is good, right? And I think as I read this piece in Indeed, they talked about researching your company's goals. And we talked about that a lot on the Access Point, is aligning your values with the company's goals. And one that I thought was really interesting is about taking on a challenging project. So if you're thinking about making some moves in your career, you're pivoting, you're trying to keep this momentum going forward, what are your thoughts, ladies, on taking on a new challenging project in the space where you are?
That's a great question. I think you really have to look at where you're at and how that new challenging project will add to your career and to where you see you are headed. I think oftentimes as a woman of color, right? I feel like sometimes I have to navigate different spaces and have being more than one space, volunteering, leading, being part of a board. But at the end of the day, I've also realized that because we have been going through a lot, I'm a little burnt out as well. So I think I'm as I approach anything new, I'm asking myself a couple of questions. First of all, do I really have the wavelength? And second of all, how is that going to add, right? Not only to where I'm at right now, but to the future, kind of like Wendy suggested and said, how is that going to place me where I want to be? I think it's usually where I look at when I'm thinking of new projects or if there's something that I need to add. Sometimes it's easier said than done, though, because it's really tough to say no, especially if it's a mission-driven work that I believe in. So, yeah. But I try to ask myself those questions for sure.
I think about how the new project is going to broaden my network. So maybe in looking at this, isn't just for me, but the greater impact, like for the community. Who's going to remember this special project beyond my supervisor, my management, the leaders in the organization? Who's going to remember this special project because they live in this community, because they were affected by something that this special project helped to resolve? And that gives not only visibility to the organization, but it also broadens your network as the leader on a special project, your work in that area to be recognized and seen beyond that organization. So when we talk about how do we network, that's one way to build your network, by taking on a special project.
Because a new project, you might find your new job. You might find your new boss.
Exactly.
You might find your new best, your new mentor. You might find your new favorite friend at work and coworker. So all those things, that newness and asking those questions is do I have the wavelength for this, the bandwidth for this? Do I have the right connections? Where do I want to go next? Can this help open that new door for me? I love that. And so this is important as we think about not just the three of us and how we think about this, but particularly as we're all working with people across the generations. I saw in Inc. magazine last week. They had a report about Gen Z. We talk about Gen Z a lot here. And they are really saying, hey, we're done with this idea of the career grind. So you can take your new projects and shove it, right? But nearly half of the people in the survey said they actively avoided things that would get them a promotion. Didn't want to do that. Said that high demanding industries are finding it more difficult to get employees to think about or contribute in ways that are considered above and beyond. And that Gen Z specifically are, and you just mentioned some of this, Dr. Wendy, are optimizing their exit opportunity. So what do I need to get from this? And how do I move on? So if you are, as we do, if you are someone who is advising leaders, advising managers, and thinking about supervisors who are in the space right now saying, I'm having trouble getting this, what are the conversations that we need to have, that leaders need to be having right now to figure out how to help navigate this space of uncertainty where people are saying, hey, you're going to get exactly what's on this job description, and that's about it. Dr. Wendy, why don't you start us out?
You know, leaders can save themselves some grief if they begin to look at what the workforce looks like in the 21st century and stop thinking that it's a sin for an employee to come in and not want to work there forever and ever, amen. But give them the opportunity to operate with an entrepreneurial mindset, right? Let their creativity flow and prepare by having succession planning in place so that you can congratulate that person who wants to move on, that Gen Z population that may not want that lifetime commitment. Just prepare for that. And it wouldn't be so painful to the organization. I will also say that when the Gen Zs show up, embrace them for what they bring to the organization. Sometimes we demonize them for the way they think about work. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. And I think we need to just, as leaders in organizations, prepare for that so that we can continue to meet the bottom line, make sure that we are being open and inclusive of that generation and appreciating what they bring to the organization.
And you know why I love this? Because I could easily see me sitting down with someone from Gen Z coming in and say, hey, we're already aware you're going to be leaving in about 2.5 years. Here are the three things we want you to accomplish. And when you're done, we'll have a party and send you on your way. Everybody, congratulations to employee XYZ. He learned all he could, and now he's on his way. Bye-bye.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Josefina, what do you think?
You know, I agree so much with a lot of what you're saying, because as I've navigated a couple of different spaces recently, I think, you know, having those conversations, right, and just being honest about it too and learning, I think, Wendy, you really hit to the point where you're saying, I think having that succession planning, when I was working for the state, it was always emphasized, we have people retiring, so what are we going to do when they retire and they take all that knowledge with them, right? We have new people coming into the workforce. How ready are they? I think in some spaces, those are some of the things I'm realizing, that those conversations are not happening. Normally, when I start a new job, I always say, what are the deliverables? What do I need to do in the first year? What do I need to do in the second year? So I think, unfortunately, though, some of those conversations are not happening right now. And I think they need to be had. Right now, I'm noticing a lot of just taking care of everything because it is so uncertain. But if we did more of have those conversations, I think we would be better set, not only for now, but for the future. And even those, like, you know, we're talking about different generations been in the workplace. And if we were more open to that understanding, I think we would learn a lot, in my opinion.
You know, I was also thinking about placement for Gen Z. We tend to see Gen Z in positions of authority in the job, but not necessarily providing them with the tools to manage in a leadership position. And I think we, you know, leaders do an injustice by doing that. So when they show up in the workforce, we need to make sure that we are providing them the tools to be successful.
So here's what's interesting about this, because up until maybe the last role I had, I never stayed at any job more than 3 years. And I'm not Gen Z. I was part of Gen X. But I would go in very clear about the things I wanted to accomplish, never with the intention of leaving in 3 years. But that was definitely the employment cycle for me. At about the 3-year mark, I started to get bored with the environment, figured I had mastered the things and pushed the envelope enough, taken on enough exciting projects, and wanted to go on and do something else. So it was not necessarily something against the organization, not that I didn't leave the space in a better place, not that I didn't pour everything I could. I was definitely still on that above and beyond accomplishments all the time. But around that 3-year mark, I got the itch to go and try something new on.
Yeah, I totally, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Well, to add to your point too, though, I think, Wendy, you are so correct about the tools, because I feel like as I have stepped onto different roles, I've always done such a good job to get there, right? But then once I'm there, I'm like, okay, where are my tools? How do I do it? So I feel like I've always had to, like, in a way, create. And that's why I think I'm very sometimes inspired to motivate younger professionals too, so that they do have those tools. Because I feel like times you don't have them, right? So you have to find them, so to speak, and create them. But I keep asking myself every day, how do I get more tools? How do we find them? How do we build networks? And to your point too, Wendy, of actually networking and getting out there, I feel like I really had to force myself in a good way to do that, right? Because I think a lot of good jobs that I have gotten, it's because I have networked and I have gotten out of my comfort zone. So what I'm noticing with a lot of younger, and I'm generalizing a lot here, a lot of younger professionals is that they are very used to the virtual world. So they don't do the in-person or the, let me send an email, let me follow through. So any advice on that would be great too, because I think I'm always looking for tools. How do we as leaders and managers, as we step into different roles, how do we get those tools, but how do we pass on those tools as well?
And I'm thinking of an experience that I had this past weekend in the airport. There was a kiosk that was near me with bagels and coffee, the main products that they sell. And a colleague of mine bought me a muffin. And I said, okay, that's great. Thank you. I'll get my coffee right here. So I go and get the coffee and walk back to my seat. And the coffee, I took a sip and it was cold. It was disgusting. So I took it back. And the young man says, I don't know why it's not hot. And he shakes the pot. He says, I don't know why it's not hot. But our larger store is right down the hall there. Okay. So I walked down, and when it was my turn, it was very crowded. This one was very crowded. And I walked up to the cashier, and I told her what happened, and I had my receipt, and she called over and asked someone to make me a hot cup of coffee. And so the manager gave me the eyeball, and I said, no, here's my receipt. I'm not trying to get something for nothing. This is a replacement because your kiosk gave me cold coffee. So he says, okay, go ahead and make the coffee. And people are watching as he turns to me and says, hey, are you going back down there? And I said, yes. And he said, well, can you tell the guy in there to make a fresh pot of coffee? That's from yesterday.
Oh, wow.
What? So I couldn't believe it. So I said, you're asking me, the customer, to go and tell him? He said, yeah. And I said, no, you're asking me, the customer, to do this. He said, yes. And I turned and people are beginning to laugh.
Said, you have the tools, yes. All it takes is a mouth.
They're beginning to fall out laughing. And I said, no. Me, the customer. You're asking me, the customer. He said, well, I can't do it. I can't leave here. And everybody just roared. I mean, he just didn't get it. And I just left. I just left with my cup of coffee. And I said, I can't make this up. And so here was someone who he may have done everything to show that he was ready for management. but he missed the tools for understanding the full scope of customer service. He missed that full scope. And I just thought about this, and I mean, that's why I'm saying we want to definitely accommodate this generation and welcome them in, but we must also give them all the tools that they need to be successful.
Yeah, there's nothing in that story I heard about you being a coffee snob. No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. But let's keep with this, right? So I like this idea of talking through positions and the tools people need to be successful, particularly as we are checking in on where people are with their resolutions and how they want to continue momentum in their career. So I saw something else last week in Indeed. It's a report they did with some partners, and they looked at the 20 best jobs for this year. And the factors that they used were around the availability of positions, the salary ranges, and flexibility. So we are all in the post-COVID or sliding out of COVID era where flexibility in work, working from home or working from anywhere, and remote work is important. So here's what they found. 40% of the jobs are in nursing and healthcare, but not always the best paying. And then the list of these 20 jobs included stuff like family therapists, diversity and inclusion manager, chief people officer, psychotherapist, and solar installer. I thought that one actually was funny. But so we've got this list saying that, as we've been knowing over time, if you don't hear jobs about tech, we hear it about healthcare, and nursing is always on the rise. But these other things, particularly this idea of a diversity and inclusion manager, with all the things we've come through in the last 3 years related to this, that's high on the list of where there's opportunity, flexibility, and salary. So my question to both of you is, where should people look if they are interested in making a change? What are we recommending to people as we coach them about career paths and organizations about how to create spaces for people?
Oh, that is a great question. Literally, especially because I just went through that. Honestly, I tapped into my own network, right? Who has recently done a career change, a job change, that can somewhat help me, guide me, or just advise me, or just listen to me in general? So just my own network is the first place for me. And then also what I actually did, because I am part of a chamber of commerce, that is actually where I went second, because they host a lot of different events. So I just attended like all of their networking events. And a lot of it is, you as a job seeker, searcher, career changer, you have to be very clear about what you want. And sometimes those are the spaces that allow you to get there. So I think those would be two key things that I would suggest to people if they're in those situations right now.
I love that. And that happens to me all the time. People are in transition, people who I've worked with before, people who I've coached in different situations, they'll send me a message saying, hey, I am thinking about X. Do you have a moment to talk? We might schedule a meeting within a week or within 2 weeks or later down the month, depending on our schedules. But having those sometimes, so those comfortable and trusted conversations that can help push you out of your comfort zone, that can help you think about new ways to view what's happening, that can help you question sort of the status quo of where you are, it can help you think through the network and people you may not have considered, organizations you may not have considered, paths you may not have considered, positions you may not have thought about before. So using the people around you in your network is a very, very important space. I think we lost Dr. Wendy's audio, but we'll keep going with that. And I want to continue with this, right? Because the idea that diversity and inclusion managers are part of this space where there's availability of positions and salaries can be pretty reasonable and there's flexibility. I want us to fact check some of this, because just last week in Bloomberg, they sent out a report saying, actually, what's happening with all the diversity hiring? Because starting in 2020, things were on the rise, and we saw lots of people, Black and brown people, moving into critical roles in powerful organizations and small organizations and large organizations, and with the intention of us making a collective national and global shift with diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workspace. The Bloomberg report says, but that's a lie, right? That we're stalled. The work we were doing in 2020 is not happening in 2023, and we saw the slide begin in 2022. So how do we get back to that? How do we make sure that that stays at the forefront? What are the strategies that both employers need and employees who are looking to continue to stretch us in that way? How do we help people do that? Dr. Wendy, you back with us?
I am, but I missed some. I'm going to defer to Josefina, and then I'll pick up. Thanks.
All right.
Ooh, Lonnie, I love that question. Because I am moving in some of those spaces myself in my current job. I think that the way the thing started in 2020, I think it was for good reason, but I think what I'm noticing, at least in the spaces I move, is that there is so much change and turnover. So I think this is work that many of us know that it's long term, right? Like they say, it takes a village, and it's long term. You can't do it in a year. I mean, I think there's a lot that's happening. We're trying to undo a lot that has been done, as we know, a lot of harm, a lot of trauma, right? We're trying to engage people while trying to put out fires. So to not make it a long story, I think it's just we're trying to do so much. And I think, unfortunately, some of those spaces are probably just lip service as well. So that probably makes it tough for those individuals that are applying for those positions, right? So I think a lot of it is when you are applying for those positions, make sure you ask the correct questions, right? Whatever that means in your area, right? Like, are you going into tech? Are you going into, like you're mentioning, nursing, you know, healthcare? Where are you going into? Do your homework. I'm a believer of when you are applying for different jobs on both ends, right? If you're the employee or the employer, do your math, do your homework, whatever you have to do to make sure that you learn about the company's goals, their mission. Do they actually show up like they say they do? And as an employee, you do the same too, right? Like I think it's a two-way street. And unfortunately, we have been just too much change and turnover has made that progress very difficult.
Mm. Thank you. Dr. Wendy, your thoughts. What do we do to keep diversity, equity, and inclusion at the forefront? Because the Bloomberg report says what we started in 2020 is starting to slide. We are not there yet, and we are moving in the opposite direction.
So a lot of times when we look at diversity, equity, and inclusion, we're looking at the color of faces. And I think that when you are interviewing with a company or even considering interviewing with a company, those things that you need to look at go beyond the color of faces. While that is very important in some aspect, what about people with disabilities? You know, do you see representation of that and how they are dealing with that in the workspace? What about the different types of work environment? So I would also say join organizations where people are familiar with the places and the jobs that you are looking for, the companies, so that you hear the reputation, not just the website. Sometimes the website can represent something that the company doesn't even appear or the company doesn't represent. So the web page for DE&I can look like it's the best place to work for. And then when you get in, it isn't. So I'm going to say that one of the best things to do is to make sure that you're in the right spaces where you hear about the reputation of the organization, not necessarily Google and see what people are saying about it, because you can get an angry employee. But one of the most legitimate spaces are going to conferences, right? You see and you hear from the people who are representing those organizations. You see more about the company. And there's usually representation of more than one person from the company at different levels, multiple levels. So you get a real understanding of what's going on in the organization.
Well, wait a second, Dr. Wendy. Let's not dismiss the angry employee. That's an important voice. I want to know what made you mad. I want to know why they get on your nerves. I want to know why you left. I want to know what the boss did to you. Those things are important because they speak to culture. They speak to things that are allowed to happen. They speak to what Josefina just mentioned about the trauma that people experience. So I want to know, but I want to take it and as a grain of salt, as we say, in with all the other information
out there. You go.
I don't want to miss out on the person who hates that job. Please, please let me talk to you first.
There you go. Don't dismiss it. Just don't let that be the sole piece of information, right, that you go to learn about the company.
I want to add one more to this list of the trends that started in 2020 and have continued. And so we're doing our check-in on our resolutions. And so wellness was a big thing, right? And so I saw on a blog maybe about 2 weeks ago for phys.org, and they talked about particularly wellness fads and the workplace, that wellness fads don't work, particularly if the culture and the boss are toxic. So if we just saw that Bloomberg says what we thought was taking off and relative to diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace, particularly around hiring, is beginning to slide. We're actually moving backwards. And we know that wellness is one of the new buzzwords that we've adopted since 2020. And we've been trying to move the marker there. And we saw multiple reports as we ended last year saying that people were anchoring workplace issues around that. What do we do to shore up this? And this is, again, in the context of people who are thinking about jumping ship, changing paths, pivoting a little bit. It's the new year, new me. We checked in on diversity and inclusion. Now, what do we say about wellness in the workplace? Josefina.
I love, it's a challenging one for me, but it's a great one that I need to think about. Well, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of it, I think for a few weeks, I've been reading a lot about normally those leaders and managers model, right? Like taking time off, being flexible. And I think a lot of that, at least where I'm moving, I think I see it with those that I'm working with. So for me, that is what shows me what I need to focus on, not only because I see it, but because I'm learning to also just listen to myself when I'm exhausted. Can I go home and work once I'm at home? And also just how wellness and health looks very different for everybody too, right? And I think what I'm hearing from other professionals is that because they have had to work at home, they are actually focusing on their own wellness. I don't know how that looks. It was really tough for me. I was able to work from home, but I feel like I really didn't have a balance, right? So we keep hearing the typical life-work balance, does it even exist? So for me, if I was to say that a challenge that's presented to me and a resolution is that, like, how do I take care of myself? There've been moments where I'm like, I feel burnt out. So how do I do this? How do I do this good work that I want to be doing? So I'm starting just with taking time off for myself where I completely disconnect and laughing. Honestly, this weekend, I spent time with family and friends I hadn't seen in a while. And I'm like, you know, I was happy. I was excited to go back to work. We had a holiday, of course, right on Monday, but I was excited and happy to go back to work on Tuesday. So I said to myself, okay, here we are. Like you're saying, we're in February. I signed up for the gym. And honestly, I've gone like a couple times. So how do I work on my own wellness? Because at the end of the day, yes, it's important to have that at the workplace. But if you are not committing to yourself and you say no and setting your boundaries, I don't know that you're going to be able to do it, no matter how beautiful the setting for wellness and, you know, you being healthy at work. I think it does require that commitment from the individual too.
All right. So as we are wrapping up our conversation today, we typically take some time to reflect on what we learned through all of our contributions and we share. So let's see. If we think about this idea of reassessing where you are with your career resolutions and thinking about possibly pivoting and changing as you try to put in the hard work for the rest of this year, we learned multiple things. At the employee level, we said, do not settle. Take stock of your talents. What are you good at? What do you need to move to the next level? If you can, volunteer, be part of a board, check your own bandwidth. Can you identify new projects that will give you new connections and new networks and possibly lead to new opportunities? Be okay with creating things if the tools don't exist that help you get the resources and accumulate the networks that you need. Tap into your own network when you're ready to change. Get out to networking events. When you are in transition, remember that the organizational website is always internal. Do your own research, find out the reputation. Listen to yourself when it comes to wellness. Be very aware of how you take care of yourself and make sure not to get stuck in the wellness fads that organizations may be promoting. From a leader and supervisor standpoint, get real about 21st century. Make decisions about what this workforce looks like, not the workforce of the past. Encourage the entrepreneurial spirit. Allow people to create and take skills and move them into other levels. Prepare for succession. We know that people are coming, but we know that they aren't staying forever. Prepare for the deliverables and for the exit. Know what the cycle looks like in your organization. Give employees the tools they need to be successful. And look for signs of what works well when it comes to your own wellness, because you cannot help others be well if you are not well. From groups and teams, remember it takes a village. A lot of this work about the changing workplace involves all of us getting involved to help change what's happening and to look at this from a very long-term standpoint. We are looking for corrective actions, and when it comes to issues of diversity, equity, inclusion, and even wellness, we are trying to heal the trauma that has been caused before and that people have experienced. From an organizational standpoint, create space for trusted, honest conversation. Allow people to shape pathways that give managers the opportunity to provide tools so that we can get the resources we need to get work done and to make these career paths meaningful. Broaden the definition of diversity and inclusion. It is not just about the color of people's faces and their ethnicity, but it's about the whole person and how we all show up together. And please avoid the workplace wellness fads. So we take all that into consideration, Dr. Wendy and Josefina. What do we want people to remember when we think of these lessons? If you don't heed the things we discussed today, what is the black and brown tax that people pay? So if you don't listen, what's the cost? Josefina, you start.
If you don't listen, what's the cost to burnout? So always trust yourself. If anything, remember, trust yourself no matter where you are and what you're doing. That's a big takeaway for me.
Love that. Thank you. Dr. Wendy.
I would say the black tax would be if you don't heed, you will be left behind. This is the 21st century, doing things a new way, a different way, a productive way, and we must be on board.
For me, I think it is be self-aware, because if you are not aware of self and the things that are around you, you will get caught in this never-ending cycle. The reports that we read, that we talked about this week, say that there have been some really incredible trends with momentum, and they seem to lose that strength over time. So you've got to be aware of what makes sense for you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for the Access Point. We're happy to be back with you for the second half of season 4. You can follow us on Twitter at Living Corporate, LinkedIn at Living-Corporate, Instagram at Living Corporate, and you can get the Access Point wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate your time. like, comment, share, subscribe, and you can join us live via Twitter Spaces on Thursdays at 7:30 Eastern Time. Have a good night.